from the Maryland News Network. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone. Over the next hour, we'll bring you the latest high school sports news and discussions from around the state. Now, here's Glenn Clark.
And this is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network. I am Glenn Clark, joined as always by my co-host, Wick Eisenberg from CountySportsZone.com. Wick, it's good to see you as always, pal.
Good to see you as well, Glenn. Got a lot of good stuff to talk about this week.
No doubt about that. A lot of exciting action from the past week that we will go over, and more exciting games coming up this week. Let's start with what happened this past weekend, Wick. And I want to lead with one of the games that we had actually talked about last week. You had identified it as a game to watch. It's something that everybody's got to be knowing about. What happened when Choptacon got together with Northern?
Well, I'm excited because I had said, if you remember last week, that it was going to be a high-scoring, intense affair, and it definitely fit the bill. It ended 36-33 in favor of Northern, but it was really back and forth. Choptacon actually jumped ahead in this game 14-0. Austin Gregory scored a 36-yard rushing touchdown, and then A.J. Hunt, their quarterback, who's had a great start to the year, connected with Nicholas Snyder for a touchdown. Quarterback Reese Krauts was able to jump back for Northern, get a rushing touchdown, but then they connected again, Hunt to Snyder, 46-yard touchdown. So big plays early on for Choptacon, really, to help them get that 21-6 lead. But then the second half, it started and it was all Northern. Northern in that third quarter, they were able to score 13 unanswered points. Conlon Schleppe was able to get a receiving touchdown, and then Xavier Harris, who ended up going off in this game, scored his first touchdown of the game. So Choptacon still had the lead, 21-19, but Northern had the momentum going into the fourth quarter. However, Choptacon took it right back. They were able to score two more touchdowns from Gregory, who finished with three total touchdowns in the game. That was 33-21. But then Northern battled back two touchdowns and a field goal to be able to take the lead. Harris was able to score on a 43-yard touchdown run, and then he also got a 9-yard pass from Krauts to win it late, 36-33. And what's exciting for me about this contest is that we might be able to get it again. These are the two top teams in the 3A South standings right now. They're looking like they're going to be probably, barring injuries or a real dip in form, it looks like that they're going to be making the playoffs. So I'm hoping for a rematch at some point because this was a great game.
Yeah, if they're going to be like this, sign me up for four more of them this season.
Absolutely. I would totally take that, yeah.
All right, there were four other games that you identified as games to watch this week. Let's do it quickly. Let's run through so we pay it off. What happened in games like Duval Parkdale, Haverty Grace Aberdeen? Just run us through all the games to watch from last week.
Yeah, sure. Duval Parkdale and all Prince George's County matchup. Duval was able to win that one 34-22. Westminster was able to crack Manchester Valley's defense, which had been really solid up to that point. They were able to put 50 on them. 50-7, a good win for the Owls. Yeah. And then Haverty Grace was able to pick up their first win against Aberdeen. This was their third year in a row that they were able to, in their third attempt in 3 years, they were able to find a win. 33-7 for Haverty Grace. And then Dunbar-Mervo, it's a huge Baltimore City matchup because whoever wins that, you got to think is in the driver's seat to win the City Division I title. Dunbar was able to win 38-13, and Dunbar got their 38 first. So now, it was a very, very good game for Dunbar.
There was one other game that I thought was really interesting, and that was the Quince Orchard-Bullis matchup.
Yeah, Quince Orchard and Bullis, that's private school versus public school. And Quince Orchard, for those who don't know, is one of the top 4A teams around. They were able to make the state finals last year where they lost to a very good Wise team. And they were unbeaten to start this year, and they have a fantastic quarterback in Doc Bonner, one of the best quarterbacks in the state, in my opinion. And this game ended up turning into, once again, kind of like Choptacon Northern, a shootout. But QO was able to take the lead despite injuries to their team. But they were still able to battle back, and Bullis was able to really sort of battle back here and was able to get a couple of good big plays from Bryson Shaw, who was able to score two touchdowns, including a 55-yard touchdown reception. But Quince Orchard was able to sort of work their way back into the game after Bullis had really done a good job in the first half. And so then we go to overtime. Bullis was able to score, but Quince Orchard was also able to score when Bonner connected with Brendan McGonigal. However, the two-point conversion, which they went for to, game as opposed to tie it, fell short. So Bullis was able to pull out the win 42-41 in overtime.
He is Wick Eisenberg. I am Glenn Clark. This is High School Sports Line.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Welcome back to High School Sportsline. Glenn and Wick with you on the Maryland News Network. Wick, this is the segment we like to feature a big story in local high school sports. And this is a fascinating story that you have for us this week because we were just talking about Mervo football.
Yeah.
They fall to Dunbar last week. Now, to try to bounce back, all they're going to do is go make one of the more remarkable trips that a
8.5 hours.
Yeah, that a private school or sorry, a public school team will make as they're headed out to Ohio to play a game this week. Can you take me through how this whole thing came about as Mervo is going out to Cincinnati to play Taft?
Absolutely. I mean, starting sort of with a personal side on this story, I part of my job for County Sports Zone is I'm in charge of finding the non-MPSSAA results for the football teams. And so to help with the point standings. And so I always get an Excel sheet at the beginning of the year with all the different teams, and they have their states there. You get a lot of West Virginia, Virginia, Delaware.
Sure.
Going through the list, I'm like, Ohio. Who is playing Ohio? And a team from Ohio. And I looked and I was like, Mervo is going to Ohio to play a game. It definitely stood out to me. And I was like, huh, well, this is definitely a story here. And so I got on the phone and I spoke with Pat Nixon, their head coach over there, who's done a great job with the Mustangs program over the last few years. And we got to talking about it. And it comes down to a simple thing. Mervo is playing some really good football right now. And so they were able to have, they had a lot more open dates going into this year than they normally do. And Nixon was going around trying to find some sort of opponents to play, you know, outsourcing, trying to find other local teams to play. Not a lot of people wanted to play Mervo. They've won 4 straight city titles. They made an impact last year in the playoffs by beating Sherwood. I think everyone was a little bit like, yeah, I think we're going to pass on playing Mervo here. So he started to look for out-of-state competition. He was like, this is a great opportunity for my guys to get to go play some other, you know, get some other experiences, play some other teams. They were able to set up one with a team from Delaware called William Penn, who they beat in their opener earlier this year that they hosted. But then he was starting to look and said, you know, maybe we should look a little bit more Midwest. And he landed on finding Taft online. And it's ended up being a good fit. Him and the coach out there, they were able to exchange film where they were able to look at their teams and say,
is this like a website that you go to find an opponent?
Oh, yeah. They have it per state. If you go on the MPSSA website, they have teams looking for games for every sort of sport.
Really?
And so he started looking for Ohio and was like, this would be a good fit.
Wow. This sounds like a dating site for football teams.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, that's what it sounds like. So, okay. So, they decide this is a good fit. They decide it's going to work. But there's, like, some practical things involved here. Like, you know, traveling to Ohio.
Absolutely. Yeah.
For a football game. That's not, again, if you're a private school, it's a little bit different. For a public school, I imagine that's not the easiest thing. Tell me a little bit about the reality of that, and then what all it is that they're going to be doing while they're out there.
Well, yeah. I mean, I talked to Nixon about it, and it was like, so where's the money coming from? How are you able to do this? Did you have to jump through any hoops? And his first response was, well, I'm the athletic director as well as the football head coach, so helps a little bit in that regard. But a lot of it, he said, is it's mostly from fundraising, and the good thing about it was they were able to schedule this game early last year. So they've had plenty of time to go out, get this money, and try to figure out a way to do it. And so in terms of what they were doing, it's pretty simple. How do you fundraise? You put on different events for people. He said they did a bull roast. They held a couple different breakfasts. They had players knocking on doors. It was sort of a bluegrass movement type thing there where they were able to do that. And so from there, they also were able to get a lot of help from the administration. And where the administration really, really helped was helping with the transportation. They're going to be taking buses out there to Ohio. So they're going to be driving. They're waking up at 6 a.m. They're going to be leaving for Mervo, an early call on Friday. And they're going to be going on what is
just for the record, I want to state that sounds terrible.
That sounds terrible.
I just want that to be known. It sounds awful. A high school kid having,
But they're going to get there. They're going to have a good destination because as part of this whole event here, they're going to be going all the way out to Ohio. They're going to be going to Canton to see the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which Nixon told me is their being viewed as sort of like a just any sort of school field trips. Did you ever go to
they never took me to the Football Hall of Fame when I was in high school.
It's a pretty good field trip.
I mean, I think I went to like a box factory. No, that was the Simpsons episode. What did I go to? I couldn't remember a high school field trip. I really don't. But
yeah, so they're going to be heading actually straight for Canton, Ohio, which he said they should be able to get out there around lunchtime. And then so they're going to have a quick lunch, and then they're going to go on a tour for 2 to 3 hours, get to go see the Hall of Fame, and it's, you know, a bunch of kids who play football. I think he's really hoping that they're going to have an appreciation for the history of the game.
Yeah.
And for for Nixon, talking to him, for him it was big that they were going out somewhere Midwest so they could do that, sort of get those sort of vibes. He's from that area. He's a native of Pittsburgh, so probably a Steelers fan. But he really wanted his kids to be able to go out to the Midwest, be able to represent Maryland and Baltimore as well. And so that was a big thing for him, going out to the Midwest and being able to sort of see how big football is out there for his kids to experience it. So they're leaving from Canton, and then they're going to get a hotel. They're in a hotel in Cincinnati that night, and then it's game day the next day.
This is High School Sports Line here on the Maryland News Network. We're talking about Mervo making this trip out to Ohio this weekend to take on Taft. Wick, how often does this type of thing happen? Like, is this as rare as I think it is?
It's pretty rare. I mean, like I said, when I was looking through the Excel sheet that had all the different opponents, you don't see Ohio pop up very often. There's plenty of, for those Western Maryland teams, they play a lot of teams from West Virginia, Eastern Shore, you get Delaware, you get plenty of Virginia as well. But it's a pretty unique situation, and definitely for a Baltimore City school to be able to do it as well, for me, I think makes it just extra special and extra cool. And talking to Nixon also, So he said that he thought it was the perfect timing for this event for him. I mean, they were coming off, as we mentioned earlier, they lost a tough one at Dunbar earlier this week. And he was really hoping that they could bounce back and sort of take their mind off things. And so for him, this is the perfect way to do it. You're going to have the kids sort of bonding on a bus together out there. Just I don't know what you talk about on a bus for that long.
Oh,
hopefully
anything.
They come up with something. Yeah.
Anything.
So they're going to be going out there. They're going to have some great experiences. And then hopefully play a game against Taft and be able to come up with a win. Now, looking at Taft, I did a little bit of research on them. Pardon me for not having everybody's names. But they were able to win their last two out of the last three city championships out there. And talking to him, talking to Nixon, he said that there was a lot of similarities between these teams, inner city kids with a lot of talent and a lot of success as well. So it's looking to be a good matchup and definitely one that I'm going to be keeping an eye on. It's a Saturday night matchup, so it's probably going to be the last game that's Maryland-wise is going to be being played this week. And they're going to be looking to continue to do a good job against out-of-state opponents. Like I said, they already beat a team from Delaware. But what's cool about this also is that this team from Ohio, Taft, what they signed up for was a home and away with them. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be coming to Baltimore next year. So they're going to be able to host the Taft kids next year. So it's one of these cool things where maybe this turns into a thing they're going to do all the time. I don't know. I asked Nixon about that. He said, well, we don't have any other out-of-state plans besides going to Delaware next year to play Penn. But otherwise, it looks like just a great opportunity for those kids and for that program to really put them on the map. And I know Nixon's very, very proud of it, though. Getting to talking with him a little bit more about it, he said that, his ultimate goal is to be able to get his team out to Pittsburgh to be able to play a team from out there with a lot of history in that area for high school football. So he's hoping he's got big dreams for it, and he's hoping that he can keep it going in the future.
That's cool. That's Saturday night as Mergro heads out to Cincinnati to take on Taft. In our next segment, we're going to get away from football. There's literally other things going on in the world of high school sports. So we're going to discuss some of those cool stories when we come back in. He's Wick Eisenberg. I'm Glenn Clark. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, and it continues next on the Maryland News Network.
Worry less with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
So your son got home safe last night? Tom said he had a flat tire.
Yeah, he was out past curfew and got stuck on Route 1, but Liberty Mutual went out and took care of it for him.
Liberty did what?
Yeah, a flat, jump, or tow. It's no problem no matter where or when with their roadside assistance.
What was he doing out so late anyway?
Getting himself grounded for a month.
Visit us online to get a quote. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Optional 24-hour roadside assistance coverage. Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company.
Suicide prevention starts with everyday heroes like you. Join us Saturday, September 30th at Kent Narrows as we walk to fight suicide and raise awareness about mental health. You can be part of the movement and create a culture that's smart about mental health. Out of the Darkness Walks will raise funds for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. If suicide has touched your life in any way, you are not alone. Get details on the Midshore Walk or find one near you at outofthedarkness.org.
When you live to tackle extreme terrain, this sound is music to your ears. Right now at the Can-Am Yellow Tag sales event, you can save on select 2017 Can-Am off-road vehicles to the tune of up to $2,000. Get outside and save today. Visit your local Can-Am dealer for the Yellow Tag sales event. Offer ends soon. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
The mid-autumn boredom fell hard on Thomas and Abigail Wyatt, and to lighten it, Thomas decided they needed to head north to Gettysburg. Friends thought them misguided. Upon their arrival, they found a food scene with dishes unexpected and fanciful. Warm welcoming people and beverage selections so impressive, Thomas would proclaim its drinks the nectar of the gods. This was a whole new Gettysburg.
Make your own history. Visit DestinationGettysburg.com.
Covering high school news from across the state, this is High School Sports Line from the Maryland News Network. The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here on High School Sports Line, Glenn Clark, Wick Eisenberg. It's all part of the Maryland News Network and powered by County Sports Zone. All right, Wick, let's get into some things that aren't football in this segment.
And we'll try.
Look, football is what's going on. Everybody knows that. But there are other sports happening. One sport that's not currently happening, but there was some big news in local high school sports at the end of last week as probably the most prominent basketball player in the state for at least the last couple of years has made a decision about where it is that he's going to be playing college basketball.
Yeah, Emmanuel Quickly, a guard from John Carroll up in Harford County, decided to attend Kentucky. Not a bad program.
Yeah, Stunner.
Not a bad program. Yeah. So he's going to go play for John Calipari, and it's going to be a good fit. He's a really, really talented guard. He has international experience. He's played for a couple of Team USA teams abroad. He's been a blue-chip prospect, and it's not entirely shocking that Kentucky was able to land one of those, but still, you know, it's a big story locally and an exciting one, and obviously we wish him the best when he goes to Kentucky.
No doubt about that. You mentioned he played for the U18 team under John Calipari, the coach at Kentucky.
Certainly helps.
So that certainly created a relationship there, and I know that for Coach Zito at John Carroll, he came in and replaced Coach Martin just 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. There was some thought that maybe Emmanuel would look elsewhere, but he decided to stick around with Coach Zito, and so they got one more year together, and they're going to look to do some great things this season before he heads off to Lexington. But, yeah, big news there. I know a lot of Maryland fans disappointed that he's not sticking around, but it's Kentucky.
Well, they got Jalen Smith.
They did get Jalen Smith. From Mount St. Joe, absolutely. No doubt about that. All right, now let's talk about some other stories in the world of high school sports that that you have pointed out to me. And I'm going to want to begin with the Magruder volleyball team. And I think the story of Magruder volleyball is just they're always good, right?
Yeah, they're always good. I mean, this is a team that has had 20 straight winning seasons. Not a bad look, which is currently the longest in Montgomery County Public Schools right now. And they've gotten off to another fast start this year, shockingly. They're 10-1 right now, and they were able to win their own tournament, which we touched on briefly last week, where they went 6-0. So they obviously, protecting home court, doing a great job of that. But this is a team that I really feel like, for how good as they've been, I feel like they can take another step this year.
Okay, so what's that step? You believe that they're capable of competing for a championship?
Yeah, I mean, a state championship, that's sort of the one thing missing from the resume during this whole run.
Sure.
They've been able to make deep runs in the playoffs. They last made the finals in 2009. And you talk to Scott Zani about it, and he'll say quickly, you know, it's really tough to do that. It's really tough to win a state championship. But this is a group that I think, for a couple different reasons, could make that leap and make that push through for them, although it's obviously early. I think for me, if you're going to be a good volleyball team, one thing that you absolutely have to have is a very good center. That's basically the quarterback, for those who don't know much about volleyball. And they have a fantastic one in senior Noel Waring. And Zani, the way he described her was that she holds everything together. She's kind of the glue out there, a great leader, and just makes sure that everything runs smoothly. And so they have a fantastic center, one of the best ones in Montgomery County, which is a good sign because Montgomery County is always one of the best counties in the state for volleyball. So that's one thing they have going on. And then they also, you need a lot of size. You need to be tall. You need to be able to hang at the net and be able to do a good job. And they have five of their front six are 5'11" or taller. They're big all across the net. And so for me, those are signs that if you're looking for a volleyball team that's going to be able to make a push, those are two key things you have to have, and they have both of them.
Let me ask you before we look ahead for what's coming up for Magruder Volleyball. One of the things, and I know you wrote about them at countysportszone.com, but one of the things that jumped out at me is having the value of having seniors that have played since they were freshmen, right? Like that
to
me seems unbelievably significant.
Yeah, it's very significant. And for me, you talk to Zani, and he'll very quickly, he was like, well, you know, we are a young team. We are a very young team. They are young, but they do have three players that he referred to as anchors from senior year that are in their senior year, excuse me, and Noel Waring is one of them. They also have Kristen Martinell. She's an outside hitter, and she doesn't make many mistakes. She's a four-year starter. It really helps to have a really solid four-year starter at the outside hitter position. Very talented player, very good at passing, very good at blocking, and so she's a go-to player for them. And then they also have Alex Salas at libero, so that's obviously mostly just defense. But she's been a fantastic player for them so far, and Zani said that, you know, on defense, that's who we really look to sort of carry us and to be able to organize everything. So she does a great job on the defensive side, and then on the offensive side, you have Noel Waring, who sort of runs the offense. So it's they have a good amount of senior leadership for both on both sides of the ball, and for me, that's also something that's going to be very key for them.
He is Wick Eisenberg. I'm Glenn Clark. This is High School Sports Line. Wick, what's coming up now for the Magruder volleyball team?
What's coming up for them is they have a very tough schedule. They have to play Damascus and North Hagerstown. Those are two teams that people think could make pushes for state championships. And then within their own division, Montgomery County is a very, very tough a very, very tough area for volleyball. They have to play Blair. They have to play Sherwood. And then they also have a big finale where I believe they are hosting Gaithersburg, which is their big rival. So they're going to have a rivalry game to close out their regular season. So there's a lot for them to be going up against. Talking to Zani, he sort of was talking about you want your players to just focus on themselves and what they can control. So for him, that's really what he's talking about right now with his players. Just focus on what we're doing and getting better. We're going to be okay. And then one thing he's very excited about has been the start of middle hitter Kalia Moss. She's just a sophomore, and he's basically said this is just a ridiculous start. I haven't seen many players start this way. 75 kills to 8 attacking errors. That's an amazing ratio. You don't see that very often, especially from a sophomore. They have a go-to player on offense that they're going to be able to get the ball to and say, okay, go get us a couple points here. And so that's another big thing that they have going for them right now. I really like Magruder volleyball. I think that they're going to be in good shape going forward. And they have just a whole lot of depth. Maya Scott, Sarah Schaup, and Sammy Perkins, who's been their best person serving so far. They have a lot of talent, and I think they're going to be in great shape going forward.
Very good. Let's switch gears because we love a good story here on High School Sports Line, and there's a great story this week in Baltimore County as Owings Mills Field Hockey did what it seemed like they couldn't ever do. They won a game.
Absolutely. They haven't just won a game. They've won a few games. And we talked about this sort of a couple weeks ago with Brunswick football. You hate to see it when kids go through their whole high school careers playing a sport, putting a lot of effort into it, and not seeing their end results on the field. That hasn't been the case this year for Owings Mills. They've been able to get out to a 3-3 start. They hadn't won a game since 2012. Now, this is a program that was struggling for a while. They had to disband in 2013 because of lack of players. And so they've been trying to sort of build the program back up and really get it going, and this year they're starting to see the benefits of that. They're 3-3 currently, and they opened the year with a one-sided victory, 8-0 over Chesapeake from Baltimore County, which the players, when you read about how they were reacting to it, it was like, oh, we don't even really know what to do. We hadn't been in this situation, let alone winning in a one-sided affair. And then they dropped one to Carver, but then they had back-to-back shutout wins, 1-0 wins over Kenwood, a team that had really given them a lot of trouble over these past few years. So if you're counting, I mean, they started the year 3-1 with 3 shutouts. So the defense was clearly doing something right. So that's always something that you're going to be able to hang your hat on. A great start for your defense. They've fallen back to earth a little bit. They lost to Eastern Tech, who's always a tough team to deal with, and then they've also lost to Lansdowne. But for me, it's still a great story. It's one of these things that in high school, a lot of the times what gets the pub are these big...
Yeah, the powerhouses.
Yeah, the big powerhouses,
right?
And stuff. But this is, you know, these kids are running around the school. These girls are going around the school being like, hey, do you want to play field hockey? And a lot of times they get kids who are like, well, you know, I don't even know what field hockey is. But then they have to sit there and explain and say, listen, we're all learning from the basics here. We're going to teach you. We'll have equipment we can provide for you. And not only that, you're going to get a good group of friends that you're going to be able to spend time with who care about you and won't judge you for, you know, trying something new and trying to improve. And so it's they're in a good situation here, I think. And you love
and
it.
And a coach that appears to be committed to, we want to do something here.
Yeah, absolutely. Maureen Buckley, she's a very good head coach. She played for Mount Hebron back in the 1980s and knows her way around the game. And so a lot of times for her, she has to sit there and teach these girls the basics. So you want to know why they were struggling to win for a while? Because they were learning how to, you know,
play
field hockey and what the rules are. So it's, but they're making a lot of strides right now, and I think that they're going to be in a really good shape going forward. They do have a difficult schedule. They still have to play Lock Raven. They have another shot at Carver. Patapsco is a game that they'll have, I think, a shot in, and then Pikesville as well is sort of a team that I think they'll have a shot with as well. So for me, it's just one of those teams where you love reading about it, you love hearing about
it,
because it's kids, you know, learning a lot from sports and learning how to become better people. And I think for me, it's one of the best stories I've read about in a while.
Tremendous, tremendous. Hey, County Sports Zone provides schedules, scores, and standings for public high schools across Maryland. Get scores from every game, every night. Varsity, junior varsity, freshmen, never miss the score with County Sports Zone. And of course, you can find all of Wick Eisenberg's work there as well. When we come back in, we're going to make our weekly trip down to the Bayside Conference. Mike Bradley is the host of Overtime Live on SFMSports.net. He'll join us next. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, and it continues next on the Maryland News Network.
With the connection of these wires, the entire country will be able to communicate without the assistance of an operator. Surely, no other technology will ever be needed.
Change is the one constant in the IT field. Stevenson University's Computer Information Systems program prepares you to use the latest technology and manage that change.
I like Stevenson's program because it focuses a lot on your career after school.
Because the classes are smaller, you get more attention.
For more information, please visit stevenson.edu/CIS.
The IRS doesn't mess around. If they want your money, they'll take it. They can take your paycheck and bank accounts too, even threaten your home or business. And it's about to get worse. The IRS just hired an army of new tax enforcers. So, if you owe back taxes, the smartest thing you can do is call Optima Tax Relief. Optima has access to a special IRS tax assistance program called the Fresh Start Initiative, and their clients that qualify are saving thousands, even tens of thousands. One call starts the process to stop the demand letters, stop aggressive collection actions, and stop that army of new enforcers from targeting you. But don't delay. It's important to act now while you still have options. Optima is A-rated with the Better Business Bureau. Optima has already resolved over $500 million of tax debt for their clients. Get your life back. Call now for your free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
If only we were born knowing how to retire. Brought to you by TIAA.
What you need is income that keeps coming in.
I don't just want to get to retirement. I want to do retirement.
My target for retirement, income for life.
It's a no-brainer.
I invest right, and I can start working my way through that bucket list.
Bermuda shorts and flip-flops all day.
Whether you're looking to save, invest, or plan your retirement, let us help you start planning today at TIAA.org.
Covering high school news from across the state, this is High School Sports Line from the Maryland News Network. The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here on High School Sports Line, Glenn and Wick with you on the Maryland News Network, joined now by the man who is the host of Overtime Live on SFMSports.net. Let's get our weekly recap of everything going on and look ahead to everything going on in the Bayside Conference by welcoming in Mr. Mike Bradley. Mike, it's so good to talk to you, man, and another wild week, obviously, in the Bayside Conference. What really stuck out for you this week?
Well, two things that stood out. First, our game of the week between North Caroline and Queen Anne's ended up being not much of a game. You had Queen Anne's actually went on the board first. Their first offensive play was a play-action pass down the seam. Queen Anne's won up 7-0, and you're thinking, okay, maybe this is going to be a little bit of a game. They're at home. They certainly are ramped up to beat the number one team of the Bayside this year. And then North Carolina turns around and rolls off 55 unanswered points. And so, yeah, I think it's a combination of, I think it's more so just how good North Carolina is. But again, we've talked in several weeks past that this year graduations have been Queen Anne's the most that they've hit them in years past. Usually they've been able to recover and still be a very good team. And I still have them ranked third. But the difference between third and one and two this year, there's a big difference where in years past there wasn't as much of a difference there. So, again, it speaks highly of North Carolina, who, by the way, guys, is ranked in the top 25 in the state poll. They came in at 25 last week. I would assume that, if anything, they might have gone up a spot with that dominating win, but they certainly maintained that spot, no doubt. But, you know, the thing, Glenn, and we talked a little bit offline about this, was the fact that, to me, when you take a look at, I'm just going to go through spots, say 4 through 10,
yeah,
there is so much, or I'll say 5 through 10, because it's actually broken down into three. You got 1 and 2 with North Carolina and Kent Island. Then Queen Anne's is kind of in and of itself in third, and then Parkside fourth. But say 5 through 10, there is so much parity this year with the middle tier of teams in the Bayside Conference that it makes it very difficult to judge. And I'd say it's probably the most parity that I've recognized or seen really in the time that I've been doing this. Usually you've got, you know, three or four teams, five teams at the top, and you've got a couple in the middle, and then the rest are kind of the bottom feeders. This year, it's between 5 and 10. It's wide open, and you can go by head-to-head competition to some extent, but I can make arguments that just because Team A be Team B, I can make an argument that B is better than A, you know? So it's quite interesting this year.
It sounds like the NFL, Mike. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Everybody's beating everybody.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And, you know, injuries, we mentioned Easton had some big injuries this year, and that certainly played a part of it with the parity. It's week to week. It's a surprise. It's very difficult to pick games this year, so I'll say that, which in one way, that's a great thing with the parity. In another way, though, it's still this year, it's such a top-heavy league with North Carolina and Kent Island. The rest, sadly, this year really aren't even close.
Hey, Mike, it's Wick. And you just talked about the top of the league and then sort of the middle ground of it. I actually kind of want to take a look at the bottom of the league. I know Snow Hill is the only team without a win this year. But from what I've been looking at, it looks like they've been improving a lot this year than in years past, and particularly on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, they certainly have been. I mean, it's a great point, and it's a team that everybody's really pulling for because they haven't won since a game against Colonel Richardson in October of 2014. And while it doesn't show up in the win column, they have played teams tough. They have scored some points, as you talked about. And the problem is, you know, once you get past, say, their first 15, there's such a big drop-off there that, yeah, at the end of the day, attrition catches up to them. But the last couple of weeks, they have been in games for a half to two and a half quarters before they've just succumbed to, again, attrition to being worn down by teams that have more numbers that they do. But yeah, they were in the game with Kent County this past week, to your point, two winless teams there, and that ended up being a pretty good game. You know, there may be a game or two left on the schedule they have a chance at winning, and we all hope that they can pull it out. But it's about the best you can ask for them, given their numbers situation.
And another game that I kept an eye on this past week was Decatur against Kent Island. And I know that the game did not go in Stephen Decatur's favor. I believe Kent Island won that 30-3, but it was still a great scene at Stephen Decatur involving Eli Tadley. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. And in effect, we pinned a story on our Facebook page, facebook.com/overtimelive, that you can check out from the Daily Times out of Salisbury, that Coach Bob Knox's grandson, who we talked about a few weeks ago, who was battling a form of cancer, and thus the reason why Coach Knox took off last year to be with his daughter and grandson and help them out in any way possible. His three-year-old grandson, Eli Tadley, led the Stephen Decatur Seahawks out onto the football field this past Friday night. And Coach Knox had said he was really hoping that they would be able to do that at some point. I'm surprised it happened this early in the year, but you know, there's a video and pictures, of course, and it was so great to see. And even though Stephen Decatur didn't win on Friday night, a lot of people would say, well, they did come out the victor just for the fact that Eli was there and able to lead the team out. And you know, Coach Knox there with his grandson on the sidelines. That it's a long way from where they were a year ago. And so, you know, it might not be a win for the football team, you know, in the columns there, but it was a win in something much bigger than football, which is life.
Mike, I don't know if you're purposely trying to make me cry right now, but you're going to accomplish it. I'm going to start calling you Mike Rinaldi here in a second. That tugs at all the feels. And yes, let me echo that in the context of everything that matters. Yeah, that's important. The football game pales in comparison, and such a wonderful, wonderful thing. All right, he's Mike Bradley, the host of Overtime Live on SFMSports.net, and he joins us here on High School Sports Line on the Maryland News Network. All right, Mike, let's take a look look ahead to this week? I know you guys have another big game of the week. What's on tap for this coming weekend in the Bayside Conference?
Yeah, we've got Kent Island, who I've got ranked number two, hosting number four Parkside. And, you know, this is going to be a game where Parkside has a chance of redemption. Week two, they lost to North Carolina at North Carolina. And everybody was talking about Parkside and how they might be the team this year out of the South that could get a win against a North team, and that, they were legit, that they were for real. And things got out of hand real quickly, and they lost pretty soundly to North Carolina. But they have a chance to learn from that. They've certainly moved on from that. They come into the game with a 3-1 record, and so they record-wise are the best in the South, and I think talent-wise they certainly are. They go on the road to Kent Island. It's going to be a tough task, but they certainly have a chance to redeem themselves and to show the kind of talent they have. And their star running back, Niall Ogie, has been out the last couple of weeks, but from what I've been told, he should be able to go in the game Friday. And we'll see what they can do. I mean, I'm going to give the nod to Kent Island, certainly, but we'll see if they can't hang in there and show themselves better, which I think they are a better team than what they showed against North Carolina. But ultimately, they're going to have to do it on the field.
All right. Anything else we need to know about the Bayside Conference? And for those that don't know about it, remind everybody about what Overtime Live is and everything they need to know.
Yeah, Overtime Live, you know, we cover all the Eastern Shore teams in Maryland in the Bayside Conference. And I've got a blog that I do, a What We Learn segment, my picks, and, of course, our power poll as well that you can access through the high school section there at sfmsports.net. So we've got that. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/Overtime Live. But Overtime Live, we do a game of the week, and then we do a show after our game of the week, which I host, where we analyze the games, of course, give the scores, and we talk to as many coaches around the Bayside as possible. And if we get a chance even to take a phone call or two, that airs on the Eastern Shore at 94.3 Winx FM out of Easton. And then again, of course, is streamed via sfmsports.net.
Very good.
And our game of the week is 7 o'clock Friday with a pregame at 6:45, and then the show is after that.
Excellent. Mike Bradley, always appreciate it, sir. We will look forward to catching up with you again next week. Hey, this football season, get the latest MPSSAA schedules, brackets, and more at countysportszone.com. When we come back in, Wick Eisenberg is going to get us set for what is ahead this week. 5 games that you need to be paying attention to. We'll talk all about them next as we roll along. I'm Glenn. He's Wick. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, and it continues next on the Maryland News Network.
Save more with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Did I mention that Liberty Mutual saved us almost $800 when we switched our auto and home insurance?
Liberty did what?
Mm-hmm. It gave us a little extra cushion in our budget, which we used to upgrade Billy's football pads.
He's got a little extra cushion, all right.
Nobody's going to hurt my baby.
Mom, I can't move.
Visit us online to get a quote. You can save $782 when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Based on recent Countrywide new customer survey, coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, Equal Housing Insurer.
Suicide prevention starts with everyday heroes like you. Join us Saturday, September 30th at Kent Narrows as we walk to fight suicide and raise awareness about mental health. You can be part of the movement and create a culture that's smart about mental health. Out of the Darkness Walks will raise funds for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. If suicide has touched your life in any way, you are not alone. Get details on the Midshore Walk or find one near you at outofthedarkness.org.
With 20% back in rewards on color copies from Staples, you can run your business with confidence. The confidence to leave behind presentations that customers will read, not recycle. The confidence to produce color manuals that'll keep your business in the black. The confidence that your financial forecast will no longer be partly cloudy. Show off your business in full color for less at Staples. Now get 20% back in rewards on color presentations, manuals, and copies. Staples, it's pro time. Visit staples.com/20color. Expires 11/4/17. Exclusions apply.
When you live to tackle extreme terrain, this sound is music to your ears. Right now at the Can-Am Yellow Tag sales event, you can save on select 2017 Can-Am off-road vehicles to the tune of up to $2,000. Get outside and save today. Visit your local Can-Am dealer for the Yellow Tag sales event. Offer ends soon. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, on the Maryland News Network.
back in here on High School Sports Line. Glenn Clark and Wick Eisenberg from CountySportsZone.com with you. All right, Wick, well, as we wind down this week, we need to take a look at what's coming up as far as games to watch for this weekend. And I know that you've got them available at CountySportsZone.com, but let's talk about them right now. And it's interesting to me because, you know, as I look at this group of games, a lot of teams that maybe won their non-conference games now stepping into conference and realizing, like, hey, not everybody can come out of these games undefeated. Somebody's going to have to take an L on a few of these.
Yeah, we're starting to get to that point in the year where undefeated teams are playing each other, so somebody's going to have to take their first loss. There's a couple of big ones out in Frederick County, and we will start with Walkersville versus Linganore, which I think has the potential to be one of the games of the year.
Yeah.
They're both 4-0, and starting with Walkersville, that's a team that about as dominant as we have had this year. They have outscored their opponents 253-6. 253-6. That is not a typo. That is defending. They are also the defending 2A state champs. And it's just everything's been lopsided for them so far. They've recorded 3 shutouts. Christian Pulicelli has been able to lead that defense with 26 tackles. Tyler Gleason has 22 tackles. And then Aaron Jahnke, another name I'm probably mispronouncing, is at 2 interceptions this year. And so that on the defensive side of the ball, they really haven't been pushed or tested too much. I'm curious to see how they handled Linganore. On the offensive side of the ball, it's pretty simple. They run the ball, and they run the ball very, very well. They have 5 guys that are over 100 yards rushing. To start with, we're going to go with Jacob Wetzel, who's at 242 yards rushing and 6 touchdowns on 16 carries.
Wow.
That is an amazing average. So he's been sort of the leader so far on that side of the ball in terms of rushing, but they've got a lot of guys, like I said. Pulicelli, who I mentioned on defense, has 186 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns. Ty Littleton, 168 yards rushing, 4 touchdowns. It just goes on and on. Gleason, 148 yards, 4 touchdowns. Josiah Jones, 114, 3 touchdowns. They score a lot of touchdowns, and they run the ball a lot. And so for me, the Lions are going to want to see if they can keep that going against Linganore. If not, if Linganore is able to somehow shut down that rushing attack, it's going to fall into Billy Gant, who's had a very strong start to the year as well. 368 yards throwing with 8 touchdowns. And his main target has been Josh Pulse, who has 230 yards receiving and 5 touchdowns. And so Walkersville, for me, has been one of these teams that's been one of the sort of the gold standards in recent years. They were able to make the state championship 2 years ago where they blew a lead to Patuxent and weren't able to win. Last year, they were just rolled through it, went undefeated, and were able to win the state title. So they're a powerhouse out in the 2A West region, but this is their biggest test going up against a 3A team, so this is a chance for them to get some extra points in the standings. Linganore also, another story of a team that really hasn't been tested as much. They have 2 big running backs in Devon Butler and Zamar Snowden that both get a lot of carries and have been doing a great job for him. Butler has more touchdowns. He has 9, 342 yards on the ground, whereas Snowden has 6 touchdowns and 382 yards on the ground. It's a group that is also complemented by a passing attack. They pass the ball a little bit more than Walkersville. They have 259 yards receiving for Joey Felton. And then also Ryan Lee has put together a really good year for them. 7 touchdowns, 1 interception from the quarterback position for 565 yards. Defensively, Zach Willett has 2 interceptions and Luke Freeman has 41 tackles. I mean, you throw out these stats and you think, God, this
right.
is just amazing what they've been able to do. This is their both of these teams for me, their first really big tests this year. I'm very curious to see who comes out on top.
Well, and what you can't measure with stats the size of the linemen that they have
no.
out in Frederick County.
Also helps.
It is insane. All right, that game is actually a Thursday game.
Yes.
At 7 o'clock, that one between Walkersville and Linganore.
One thing that should be noted, a lot of Thursday games this week because of Yom Kippur.
Oh, right.
So a lot of them are going to be Thursday here coming up here. So short weeks for these teams.
Well, that's another Thursday night game also in Frederick County. Tell me about Oakdale and Middletown.
Oakdale and Middletown. I might sound like a broken record, 2-4-0 teams that have had their way and done a very good job so far. Oakdale, starting with them, they have a very good running back, Simeon Sabut. Another one I'm probably getting wrong.
We'll
roll with it. 409 yards rushing, 11 touchdowns. But what's really stood out to me about him, when you look at the way he plays and also with just his stats in general, so 409 yards rushing, you're probably thinking, oh, this is a really quick kid that's able to get to the outside and be able to just run behind a couple blockers and break a lot of big tackles. He's actually been doing a lot of his work after after contact, 209 yards after contact. So he's been able to take hits from opponents and be able to run past them and continue their plays. And so for me, he's been one of the standout performers in Frederick County. And he has a good running back mate as well in George Stoltz. He has 123 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns. So he's sort of a second option that they have back there for Oakdale. And they're also going to be relying heavily on their quarterback, Colin Schley. He's thrown for 311 yards. He has 5 touchdowns to just 1 interception, and he has a main guy that he likes to throw to, Bryce DeMail, who's been a dynamic playmaker for them, 268 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns. So much like Walkersville and Linganore, this is a team that really hasn't had to deal with a whole lot of resistance. They're definitely going to get it this week in Middletown. Now, out of these 4 Frederick teams that I'm highlighting this week, they've probably had the toughest games so far that they've had to play, but they've still been able to win. They've still been able to win 3 by double digits.
Well,
so it's still been a really good start to the year for Middletown. They have 2 rushers, once again, because they love to run the ball out in Frederick County, as you said, behind those big linemen that they got. Matthew Evick has 256 yards. Isaiah Dowry, 255 yards. So 2 guys that can really handle the same sort of pressures and loads there, and they've been able to do a good job. Each have 3 touchdowns. And they have a nice quarterback who I really like in Reese Poffenbarger, 347 yards passing. And then Mark Evick, I would assume the brother of Matthew Evick, 135 yards receiving on just 7 catches.
Wow.
So a lot of running out in Frederick County, and you're going to have these defenses and these running games that really haven't had to deal with any sort of resistance yet. Somebody's going to have to bend and break this weekend. So I'm very curious to see, this week, because it's Thursday,
right.
But we're going to have to see who it is going to be, and I'm very curious to see who comes out on top. And what's interesting about Oakdale-Middletown is these are both 2A West teams. So much like we were talking about with that 3A South matchup with Choptank and Northern, these are 2 teams that could easily see each other again later in the year.
All right, he's Wick. I'm Glenn. This is High School Sports Line. We're going over our games to watch for this week and another Thursday night game. Let's head to Howard County this time and tell us a little about Longreach and River Hill.
Yeah, Longreach and River Hill have, for me, had almost... just their seasons have mirrored each other. Very, very similar. They're both 3-0. Longreach, to start with, had a very interesting year last year. It was a breakout season for them. They really came from sort of out of nowhere. They were the surprise package in a lot of different areas, but really Howard County, they got a lot of pub there. It's the first time since 2005 they were able to make the playoffs, and it was only the 4th time in school history, so it was really a big year for the Lightning. So it's sort of the year, how do you do the year following the big breakout year? Well, they've done a pretty good job. They're 3-0. That doesn't mean they haven't been close. They had a close one against Oakland Mills in week 1, 29-28. And it was a nail biter. Oakland Mills was able to score a late touchdown and had a failed 2-point conversion. So Longreach was almost 0-1 right out of the gate in that first week. But since then, they've really settled down and they've posted 2 shutouts. And one of which came against Wild Lake, and the other one came against Athelton. So for me, this is a team that really is going to be tough to beat. They have a really good running back, Kadarian Booker, 266 yards rushing on 4 touchdowns, with 4 touchdowns, and he has the ability to break off big touchdowns. Against Wild Lake, he had a 94-yard effort, and it should be actually noted, that those 266 yards and 4 touchdowns only came against Oakland Mills, so that's not a season total. He has a lot more than that, so 94 yards, so he's definitely got fantastic speed and breakaway speed. Moving into River Hill, this is a team that has also had a close game with Oakland Mills that was also able to shut out Wild Lake. So a lot of teams here that have similar sort of results. They were able to beat Wild Lake 42-0. That was their most recent game. And it was a game that was sort of perfect for River Hill. They were coming off of a long week. They had a bye week the week before. Now they're going to have to play on a short week. So I'm very curious to see how the Hawks respond to that short rest. So for me, it's these two defenses that have been playing really, really well. 2 shutouts, with the exception of when they played Oakland Mills. They were both able to manhandle Wild Lake. And so very, very even teams. We'll see who comes out on top. And I think Kadarian Booker is definitely going to have a say in who wins this game for Longreach.
All right, one of the few Friday games this week. Let's head next to Prince George's County, where Charles Herbert Flowers is getting together with Gwynn Park Friday at 3:30.
Yeah, Flowers has had a really good start to the year. They had a really good week 3 victory over a very talented Eleanor Roosevelt team, 25-19. With the exception of that game, they've been able to win their games in convincing fashion. And the story for Charles Herbert Flowers, and we've been talking a lot about running backs, it's actually the passing game for them. They have a fantastic quarterback, Julius Duvall, who's put together some really, really nice games for the Jaguars. They, in a 40-10 victory over Bel Air, he threw 5 touchdowns to 4 different wide receivers while only throwing 1 pick.
Wow.
Pretty
wow.
good. Yeah, that was for 192 yards. But for me, arguably, he was better against Eleanor Roosevelt. He threw for 235 yards, 1 touchdown pass, a rushing touchdown with no interceptions. So he's been playing at a really high level for the Jaguars, and it always helps in high school football to have a talented quarterback. Gwynn Park is 3-0 this to start the year, and they've been running the ball effectively. Against Bladensburg, they had 4 different rushers with touchdowns, and so they're going to be able to they're going to be hoping to do that again this week against Flowers. They had Ryan Clemens was able to get 2 touchdowns. Kibwe Galloway led the team with 95 yards. He had a touchdown. Terrell Lindsay had a touchdown. Andrew Cy Benson also had a touchdown, and then they had Trey Laster, who did not have a touchdown, but still ran for 35 yards. So they throw a lot of different runners at you, a lot of different looks. And the thought process is Flowers going to be able to stop that running attack? And will Gwynn Park be able to shut down Julius Duvall? So those will be the keys in that game.
And one more for this week, non-conference game, as Northwest is traveling to Good Counsel, which is that's quite the litmus test for them.
That's a big one for Northwest. They've been 4-0, and much like those Frederick County teams, really haven't been tested too much so far. And for me, they're going up against a Good Counsel team that's definitely going to be very game. They last week they were able to beat Gaithersburg 43-7, and in that game, what they really did was a whole lot of Juwan Fari. And if his nickname is not Ferrari, then somebody's not doing
something
right.
Yeah, let's
really
get that together.
Really good nickname for a kid with that last name. But anyway. He's been sensational this year. He's been their go-to guy. And against Walter Johnson was his biggest day. He had 238 yards rushing, and one of them was an 88-yard touchdown. So for me, he's going to be sort of their go-to guy. Good Counsel is 3-1. They're coming off a great win against Bishop Sullivan from Virginia, where they shut them out. So are they going to be able to stop the Ferrari? So it's going to be down to Northwest versus Good Counsel. That's going to be a fantastic one for me as well.
Awesome. That's Thursday at 7. Hey, listen to this show anytime by downloading our podcasts. Go to MarylandNewsNetwork.net and click Audio on Demand. This is Ben. Wick Eisenberg, first of all, thank you, as always, for all of your hard work. Really appreciate it. Great effort this week. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks to Mike Bradley, as always, for being a part of it and catching us up on what's been going on in the Bayside Conference. Our producer has been Steve Clendenin. This has been High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000 mile mark. Right now, get any 5 quarts of Valvoline Premium Conventional Oil and an STP filter for $24.99 or an extended life filter for $2 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With 76 greater DC metro area locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.